The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The latest news from Lebanon is that more airstrikes have been reported in southern Beirut and in the southern part of the country, as Israel has told more than 30 villages in the south, or the people in those 30 villages, to evacuate. And a major road out of the country, of course, was hit overnight. A number of Irish people on flights at the moment, as we understand, on their way to Amsterdam and other places, including Gadir and her family, who we spoke to on this show over the last few days. So that is to be welcomed, at least from kind of a very narrow point of view. But with me to talk about this is Roland Mansour and Rashad Marashli, who have both been in Ireland for about 10 years. I understand you came here together, so both 10 years, the same answer applies to both. Rashad, your family are actually amongst those who have been displaced, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So they're in the southern part of the country?
Well, they used to, because unfortunately they've been displaced. They used to live in a city close to Sidon, in the southern part. We, as you know, myself, my brothers, we convinced them to actually move to Beirut only one day before the big bombardments and airstrikes that happened in the south. It's very unfortunate, like very sad news. We're uncertain. We thought they are safe now in Beirut, but even now Beirut is not safe. Yesterday only they hit a part of the heart of Beirut. So we're worried, actually, about them.
And have you thought about or talked about getting them out of the country yet?
We did. We did. The good news is that they still have a valid Irish visa.
Okay.
And at the same time, we are four brothers. Two brothers actually live in Beirut, and one is living in Kuwait. So they will be traveling to Kuwait, hopefully soon, if nothing happens to the airport, if no airstrike is hitting the airport, because now airstrikes and bombs are, you know, happening, you know, very close to the airport. So we're afraid that the airport would be closed. But if everything goes well, they are supposed to be traveling on the 8th, spend 1 month in Kuwait at my brother's house, and then come to Ireland, hopefully to spend some time here. Because we don't know what's going to happen and how this would end and when this would end. So if we the good news is that they have the Irish visa, so they can actually come to join me here in Dublin.
Yeah, and look, we hope that works out well, but there's no guarantee that the airport kind of stays open and stays operational. And I mentioned that road, that's one of the major routes out of Lebanon that was kind of bombed overnight.
Yeah,
and we have seen, certainly in Gaza, the IDF kind of informing or telling civilian populations to move in certain directions, kind of with the implication being that they might be safe if they move there, and it not being the case.
It's not the case. It is not the case. Like, I'll be honest with you, the last 2 weeks have been the hardest 2 weeks of my life. We've been watching the news live, and we're watching our beautiful city, beautiful, you know, parts of Lebanon being bombed and destroyed. There are the southern part of Beirut, Dahiye, is actually wiped out. Yesterday, there has been huge bombardments and airstrikes from warplanes very close to the airport, very close to the airport. And the Rafik Hariri airport is the only airport we have in Lebanon. We don't have any other civilian airport in Lebanon. So we cannot do anything at the moment. Just hope that, you know, nothing happens to the airport. We really hope a ceasefire happens as soon as possible. We really hope that the world leaders, the UN, whoever, put some pressure to end this war as soon as possible. Lots of civilians have died. Lots of children have died. Lots of more than a million people have been displaced from the southern part to Beirut and other parts, thinking that Beirut is safe, but actually Beirut is not safe. Nowhere is safe now in Beirut. So this barbaric attack has to stop.
Roland, your family are in the northern part of the country, is that right?
Yeah, well, they live close to the city, but they're originally from the north, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so what have they experienced over the last 2 weeks?
the sound that they are hearing usually, you know, like the usual, like the rest of the people, you know, living not in the city, in the heart of the city. So if you're living around the city, you're still hearing, you know, all the airplane, all the bombs, all the airstrikes. The whole building is shaking, you know, like imagine at night sleeping and you are awake just because the whole building is shaking. I'm not comparing this to the people who are living in the heart of the city because it's like 100 times worse, you know, for the people living in the city. Yeah.
But it would still be relatively terrifying.
It is. It is. You know? It is. Now,
compared to what the rest of us experience every night when we go to sleep. Yes, it's worse to be in the heart of the city, but it's still, I'm sure, a terrifying thing.
100%. 100%. And, you know, staying connected with the community there. If I might talk about the community, you know, we have a WhatsApp community group. Okay, so we use that to keep that circle close. So, if you look at the Lebanese community in Ireland, they are not a big community. So it's a small community, relatively small. So we're talking about 1,500 to 2,000 people here in Ireland. So we're doing lots of activities to support our families back in Lebanon. And this is the where you see everybody has different stories and everybody is experiencing something different. But the majority of the people, what they are experiencing is the displacement. And when this started, it started in 1 or 2 days. You have over 1 million people displaced. With that short time of period, you will not find a place. You will not find a place to accommodate all these people. So everybody on that group start talking, you know, with the rest of us and, you know, sharing that I have apartment in this village, I have apartment in this town. So it's open for anyone in the community that their family is seeking accommodation. So that's something very close, you know, and very good that we try to keep it close to us. Now, in the community, we're still talking and doing something to our country, like kind of a light candle for Lebanon. So that light a candle for Lebanon, it's kind of a peace walk that we're going to do it in Saturday. So this is to make more awareness on what's happening in Lebanon. And this is another way of supporting our families in Lebanon. Now, we have a fundraising campaign as well, parallel going with that. What we are having, we're having another, you know, support call every night with the community that helps people to talk because it's good. You have to express your feelings. Otherwise, you know, staying disconnected, it's not good at all for your mental health. Whilst we're doing lots of you know, these calls and activities that helping the community. And my biggest concern there, Kieran, if I may say, is the winter is coming. There is a lot of people living on the street.
Yeah.
There is no accommodation for that. At the moment, they can barely manage that. But what can happen when the winter will hit?
Yeah, because that's the other issue, isn't it? That even if this were, Rashad, as you say, kind of if international pressure is piled on, and let's imagine it kind of ends tonight, tomorrow, it ends fairly quickly, there's still a huge amount of devastation.
Correct.
People's homes have been destroyed.
Correct.
And, you know, in Beirut as well, you're talking about a city that was still kind of dealing with the aftermath of that massive explosion
4 years ago.
You know, but there's still problems as a consequence of that. You know, this is a very long-winded way of saying, if the conflict were to end right now, this story doesn't end right now.
Correct. But at the same time, Lebanese people are resilient people. Like, we always, you know, compare ourselves to the Phoenix, Berk, like always rising from the ashes. For the past few years, it's been really hard on Lebanon, financial situation, political situation, then the big explosion that happened in 2020, then war. It's just one hit after the other. But since we are resilient, Lebanese people are resilient, and because we support each other, regardless of religion, regardless of sect, regardless of cities where each one of us is from, we support each other. The Lebanese diaspora would, you know, help in rebuilding what has been destroyed. But the most important thing now is that the war stops. The the airstrikes, the terrorizing civilians, the killing of civilians stop. This is important. Here, as Roland has mentioned, we as Lebanese living in Ireland, sometimes I'll share with you a personal kind of story. Yeah. I sometimes feel guilty. I have that guilt feeling because I am actually living here in peace with, you know, in a great country. But at the same time, my people, my brothers, my parents, my family, my friends are actually living there and listening and fearing their life all the time. It's very hard. So that's why the first thing that needs to happen is for all of those strikes and, you know, to stop. And then we can think about what should we do next? How can we rebuild? It's every time, like, again, the history of Lebanon is filled with wars, unfortunately. But every time we come back and rebuild and, you know, look for the future and look for possibilities, right? 2006, we had a war as yeah. well. Again, for the past few years, I've mentioned, you know, some of the crises that we've been in. But I'm pretty sure that we will rebuild again. We will rise again. For now, we need the war to stop. We need international pressure to stop the war. We don't want another Gaza. Gaza has been wiped out. Mm. Again, I don't want to talk politics, obviously. I'm not a political person myself. But I'm just looking into my country being destroyed live on TV with nothing's happening, unfortunately. So, yeah.
So, Roland, when is that candle walk happening, the light a candle for Lebanon, and how can people find out more information or about the fundraising, anything like that?
Yeah, we have a Facebook group and Facebook page. So it's a Lebanese community in Ireland. So on Facebook, on Instagram is the same. So Lebanese community in Ireland. If they follow us there, they will find all the activities that we're doing. The fundraising campaign, we're launching it there. And as well about the walk, the peaceful walk. So it'd be some, you know, a 10 minutes walk.
Tomorrow.
It's in Sandymount Beach.
Yeah.
From car park number 2 going towards car park number 3. And then on the beach, we're going to light. So we prepared some electric candles and some small Lebanese flags. We're going to distribute them there to the people who are going to use them.
Yeah. What time tomorrow?
At 6:30.
Okay.
So the event is 1 hour from 6:30 till 7:30.
6:30 tomorrow. Car Park 2 at Sandymount Beach, walking towards Car Park 3. If you get down there, you'll see, we hope, a crowd gathering as well. And if you want to find out more about it, if you want to find out more about the community here, if you want to find out more about the fundraising that's going to happen, Lebanese Community in Ireland on Facebook, Lebanese Community in Ireland on Instagram, same name, both places. Roland, listen, thank you very much
for
joining us. Roland Mansour and Rashad Marashdi. Rashad,
for having us.
Thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.